Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning for every person that is here. Thank you, Lord, that you draw us. You draw us to where you are, Lord. And as we gather together as a group, Lord, your Spirit is welcome, Lord, to just flow through each one of us, Lord. Flow in this place, Lord. We choose to meet here, Lord. But yet it is within us that we carry your Spirit, Lord. And so, Lord, just we invite your Spirit to flow, to have your way with this church body this morning. Lord, speak to our minds. Bless everything that you're doing today, Lord. Bless the worship music, Lord. Bless the word that Pastor Henry's going to bring this morning, Lord, that it would just cut deep into our being, Lord, as we hear the words that come forth, and that we would be able to intervene, Lord, with the worship music, Lord. This is not just nice music to listen to. This is music that goes from our hearts to your heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. We bless you. And feel free, church, to stand, to sit, to get a flag, to get on your knees, whatever it is that God draws you in the worship time, just allow His Spirit to guide you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Woo!
How many of you know this morning that there's power in the name? In the name of Jesus. Today, we sing a lot of the names of God, right? Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. We see God is everything we need. It's all of it, right? There's not a single piece of your life that it's not like He can't touch that. See, He's the creator. He's the one over all of it. He is the I am, right? I am your counselor. I am your doctor. I am your father. I am your friend. He is all of it. There's not a piece that He withholds from you. It's why you have victory now, even when you don't see what comes next. See, we have revelation, right, that comes to us, but the promises are already ours, even before. That's the amazing thing, right? He knows the tomorrow. He knows the years from now. He knows what's coming. He knows what you're in the middle of. He knows all of it. There's not a piece that's hidden. And every promise is yours. It's why it's important diving in and digging deep, right? Because a lot of times it's just that we don't know those promises yet, right? See, God equips us through every single thing, giving us things that He can gird us with, right? Yes. See, I love this song because it's so much, I don't even know what other way to say it besides it's so much of the kingdom, right? Yeah. It's the kingdom of God, understanding that what we see physically here has nothing to do with what He has for us, what He's already given us, what the kingdom already holds in store for us. See, the kingdom on earth comes because of us operating in it. It's not that it's unobtainable. It's not that it's gone. It's not that it's so far away that we can barely get to it. It's that as we step into the kingdom and we step into what God's called us to, we begin to flow out to the people around us. See, it's powerful. It's powerful. See, I can't even handle it right now. I'm watching all you guys sit in seats and I'm like, I can just feel so much of what God's doing. I went to a conference this week. Now, I'm not going to lie, it was not planned. And my brother kind of was like, hey, you want to go? Next day I was there, right? It was that kind of thing. That conference, oh my gosh. I texted my brother and I was like, thank you. It was so amazing, right? We have somebody that we went to church with since we were like little, right? And she directs a group called NACWE. It's National Association of Christian Women Entrepreneurs, right? This room was filled with on fire, bold, amazing business owner boss ladies that were just, oh gosh, I was just like so in awe of them. But what I was loving was that every aspect of their business was run based on things God's given them. A scripture, a revelation, this, that, the way that they did things, every single thing, every single part of it was God and faith driven. And I loved being in that room because they all had amazing stories, right? Like, they picked a handful of speakers. I guarantee, just getting to know those women from like a day and a half, because I was late to the conference since we were out of town, God was doing so much. And it was amazing to see a body of people come together and have no, I love that there was no competition. It was like, you need this? Here you go. Hey, you got questions? Let me offer it to you. Hey, you need some uplifting? Let's do it. Let's pray. It was powerful because it was amazing to see when you're diving in and you're digging deep, you know that there's enough love to go around. You know that God's ready to pour out into every single person around you. And you have no fear of giving it all up. Here, you want the secrets to my business? Take it. You want to see the way I'm running things? Here you go. You want to see what God's done for me? Here it is. And I just loved it because, yes, the women were awesome, right? But I love just seeing how God can change things in people's lives in such a mighty way, right? Because we can talk about these things. We can say, hey, God's got awesome things for you, right? But there is a thing that happens in your life when you decide, I'm diving in, all in, and I'm digging deep. I'm going, right? Because God will begin to just change and mold things in your life in a way that you never could imagine. It was one of the things that I just loved. Just hearing testimonies was amazing, right? But then I went home and then I was reading, right? See, it's not even necessarily about the specific thing I was reading. It's about all of it. See, God, He's got so much for us, right? And I love that it's like, the way I could picture it is like, you know the literal, like we hear about the cup and the overflowing, right? But you know, sometimes we go through things in our life and our perspective can really be shifted, right? It can really be shifted in a sense of like, either we see this as a good thing or a bad thing. And we've talked about this a lot recently. But it was like this picture of every single time you're going through something, it's like God's pouring more and more and more, right? But see, He's wanting us to also grasp it and understand it, right? So in the Bible, it tells us that it's written upon our hearts, right? And He really does call it to remembrance when we're needing it, but He's doing this pouring in. And He's literally overflowing us past our capacity, right? because of who he is, that's where revelation plays such a huge part, right? Because it doesn't matter that it may be seem like it's over our capacity. It's exactly what we need. It's exactly all the things he's giving us. It's a living word for a reason, because as we need it, he calls it, he brings it forth, and now it's something so much more than what it was before. Amen. Right? It's exactly what we needed. It's exactly what the words we needed for comfort, exactly what we needed for peace, exactly what we needed for joy, exactly, right? Right? But it's us who dives in. See, inspiration, being inspired can be a great thing. But if you never take action, you never really get to experience it for yourself, right? It's the same thing with God. You can hear all the stories. You can see how God's touched other people's lives. But until you dive in, like really dive in, you're not even fully experiencing what he has specifically for you. You yourself. Because it's so much more than you even think. I know you guys are all sitting, but I want to go back into this song. And I just want to encourage you, go all in. Let it all go. If there's something that's holding you back, if you are fearful, if you are whatever it might be, if you feel like, well, I don't really know if I should like move around. I don't, whatever it should, whatever it is. I just want to encourage you, let it go. Let it go and let God do what he wants to do. Let him move. Let him speak. There is something so powerful when you just surrender it and just say, it's yours. I'm moving forward, right? Whatever was back, what happened in your week, whatever happened yesterday, whatever's going on currently, just let it go. Move forward with God. Say, what do you got for me? What are you wanting to do? What are you wanting to show me? Where are we going? Because I'm ready to move. Just allow him to move forward this morning. Hallelujah.
Good morning. I just wanted to read you a poem that I wrote this week. It's about a heart full of Jesus. And we got a book from Deborah this past week about keeping the blood warm. And it just made me start writing this. So here goes. A heart full of Jesus is what we all need. A heart that is yielding to where he may lead. Not full of pleasures and all vain pursuit, but a heart full of Jesus and yielding his fruit. The fruit of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and others now lost that will yield to his light. If we will just mention his love and his gain when our sins are all covered with that beautiful stain of his blood on the cross. Think of the joy and the peace Jesus brings that causes our heart to continually sing. When our heart is grounded in our Savior's love, there is nothing we can't do. We are full of his power. His Holy Spirit will guide all our days, and we will sing of his glory with everlasting praise.
Hallelujah. I know that in 1979, some of you weren't even born yet. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. 1979, I came out of the grave. I died. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I came out. God resurrected me. Can you say amen? I was a drunk. Woo, hallelujah.
So I call you healer. I call you healer. You should have seen me yesterday. Post-nasal drip, headache. My ears were hurting. And I tried to use my oil that we got at the woman's retreat before I left the house yesterday. And for some reason, I was in a hurry and I couldn't open it. And then went out yesterday to a concert, came back, and I'm like, my mind was telling me, Well, you don't have to go to church tomorrow. You know, you went to church 3 times this week. You're done. you should stay home and rest.
Come on, man.
Stay home and rest. And so I got up this morning. I didn't make it to 9 o'clock, you know, because I was still feeling yucky. And I'm like, I do need to make it to church. So I opened another vial of oil that I had. And I said, it's not the oil, it's you. So I cover my forehead, my ears, my throat, my nose. And even though you can still hear it in my voice, I feel so much better. But my faith is in him. And the battlefield of mind, you know, you have to talk to your mind. You have to talk to yourself. It's like, he is the healer, you know, and I put my faith in him, and here I am. And even when I was in here, I hesitated. I'm like, I'm going to get my asthma inhaler close to me, so in case I need to use it. And I'm like, I don't need it. I've been healed.
Come on.
You know?
Praise
so
God.
So I put it away, and here I am.
Come on.
And it is a battlefield of the mind. You know, it is a battle. It's all in here. You know, it's like, no, I'm going to go to, you know, my God's house, and I'm going to praise the Lord. And thank God, you know, I'm feeling a lot better. And but I do trust him, and I put my faith in him.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Where, oh, death is your sting. Come on.
Okay. I'm a note taker, so I always have journals that when I come to church, I take notes
come
of the
on,
service.
Praise God.
Well, I finished my last book, and so I had to pick up a new journal. And in October of 2022, I wrote this down in this journal. And I just feel led to read it because I feel like it might bless someone here today. Genesis 16:13. You are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. This was Hagar speaking. God was there, not far away. He was sitting with her. He saw her. He knew her. He was with her. So she listened. She obeyed, even when it meant she had to go back to a place of hurt. Boldness isn't comfortable. Boldness isn't always without tears. Boldness doesn't always take place in a joyful moment. Boldness is walking away from what's comfortable and choosing to be closer to God rather than safe. Your pain may feel never-ending, but maybe like Hagar, God is calling you to be bold and continue walking in this season, and you aren't walking alone. God sees you.
Come on, sis. Amen. Praise God.
There's a few things that have been happening this morning that I just sense, and so the first thing is, are you ready for a shift?
Come on.
Mention shift right now. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus.
Come on.
It's the name above all names. But there is a name. There is a name that we didn't say today.
Come on.
It's a name that caused Jesus to be sentenced to death. It's a name that labeled him a blasphemer. It's a name that he shared that had never been shared in a way before then. There's some good names we talked about today. Healer, provider, Almighty God.
Yeah, come on.
But there is another name. And this is the name that you have to get in order for any other name that he has to really mean anything. for any other name that he has given us to legally be taken and utilized by us. This is a name that cannot be earned. Definitely not deserved. But it's a name that, in spite of everything and anything we've ever done or will do, good or bad, he freely gives. And Jesus, when he talked about God, he called him Abba. And he said, when you pray, pray like this: Abba. Abba. When he hung on that cross and he died for my sin and your sin and everything we had done that has fallen short, and he said, Abba, forgive them.
Hallelujah.
Have you ever been in a place, whether now or before, where that's the name furthest from your lips because you didn't feel like you deserved that name to come out of your mouth because of something you did or something you thought? A failure. Falling short, whatever it is. But that's the name that he's given us. He says, when you pray, pray in my name, and it shall be done. We've prayed for people. We prayed for things, for healing, whatever it is, and said, in Jesus' name be healed. And it's come out, and it's been changed into a way where it's like abracadabra, like magic. But that's not what he intended. What he said was, pray in my name. The name that has been given to me is the name I'm giving to you. We're all sons and daughters of the King. The King isn't just the King somewhere far off with might and power and riches galore. He's Daddy. He's Daddy.
That's right. Praise God.
And he's given us that name. Everything we saw Jesus do, everything he said, He was the example. He was the first among many brethren. What does that mean? He was also brother. Brother can only be brother when you share daddy.
Title shot.
That's the only way. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? If you are, then everything that he said is given to you freely. Everything that he said. So the shift, here comes. The shift is a way of thinking. We've had good goals. We've had good visions for our souls, right? That's good. But he says, ask for the nations. What? Let the shift just soak in a little bit. Something is happening. Something's been happening.
Come on.
And something is happening.
It is. Come on.
And we can miss it and let it go by, or we can soak it in, or we can get a hold of it. And we can allow our lives to be changed. We can allow our families' lives to be changed. We can allow this city to be changed. We can't let it go by. He's calling not just to a people. He's calling to sons. He's calling to daughters. Wake up. Hear the voice of Daddy.
Come on. Praise God.
Hear what I have to say. Come. Get a little closer. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to yell. I'm going to whisper. And in order to hear the whisper, you got to get close. And he said,
come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come close. The other day I went to get my knees checked at the doctor. I feel like I'm okay, but I'm like, what is he gonna say? And this doctor, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but it didn't matter, because when you're listening to Abba, he can speak through anyone or anything.
That's right. Come on.
So I got x-rays. Hey, what's going on? And this is what he said. He walks into the room. He goes, you're going to live.
Come on.
You're going to live.
It's a word, bro.
He said, you're going to live. I didn't go in there to hear that I was going to live. I just wanted to know if I could run, if I could jump.
Yeah, come on, man.
He said, you're going to live.
That's right.
And what I heard was the Father say, and what I heard was Jesus say, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
That's right. Come on.
You're going to live. He said, you're going to live.
Hallelujah.
So live. Live.
Come on, bro.
Overflow.
Absolutely. Come on.
I've said this before. I was talking to my mother-in-law one day, and she had gone to a conference, and they were talking about having your life with, do you look at things with a cup half full or a cup half empty? And immediately, and I knew what she was saying. I understood. It was a psychology kind of thing, but immediately, I jumped back. And this is what I heard. He said, what? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Your cup overflows. Right. So that's what came out of my mouth.
That's right.
It's not half full. It's not half empty. It's overflowing.
That's right. Come on.
That's what he says. That's the psychology. That's the mentality of our King. It's not about half. It's about overflow.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
There's a story. We can go on forever, and I'm not going to, but there's a shift. And again, let it flow. Let's get a hold of it. The story of Esther. No, not Esther. The other one. That's another one. Anyway, the story is she comes with her mother-in-law because her husband had passed away, and they move away from a heathen land back to the homeland. And she's going, she says, I'm going to go and see if I can get some grain and glean the edges of this place, because that's what they do. They let the overflow kind of go for those that don't have enough, and they can go and glean. So there's a story in that. But the story is this. Why glean for what's on the edges when you can come into agreement and into relationship with the owner and marry him, and it's all yours?
That's right. Come on.
Esther, same thing.
That's right.
When she's standing before the king after having fasted and all that, she's contending for her people. And he says, what do you want? You can have anything you want up to half of my kingdom.
Come on. That's it.
I don't want any of that. I just want to prepare you a meal. Esther was connecting with, why should I go with half when I can have it all?
Amen.
When I'm connected to the one who is in control and in ownership of everything, why would I only want half? But what's more than having half or all is having him.
Man, praise God, man. Hallelujah.
That's the point, having him.
That's right.
When we come into agreement with what he has said about us, when we come into a mentality about what he thinks about us, who he sees us like, when he looks at you, he's looking at you like you are Jesus. And how does Jesus see himself concerning the Father? Complete love. No question.
Come on. Hallelujah.
He never has to work up to being accepted. He's accepted. We never have to worry about being more loved than we are right now.
Amen.
He loves us because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. That's just who he is.
Praise God.
That's his nature.
Yeah. Come on.
I heard it. We were watching a movie last night about C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis said this. I'm going to summarize it. He says, the hardest I think what he was saying is the fiercest or the hardest or angriest or part of who God is softer than the softest, warmest, greatest part of who we are. So the shift is God, the guy on the throne with his thunderbolt like Zeus, ready to strike us at some failure that we make? Or is he dropped judgment for him to give his very best, his son?
Come on.
His very best just to be with us. Just to have connection with us. It blows my mind. I can't even fathom. I don't understand that. But that's who he is. That's who he is.
Come on. Please, God.
And when Jesus hung on that cross, it wasn't God throwing his wrath on him. It was God in Christ. God in Christ with Christ on our behalf.
That's right.
For us. That's his love. He didn't send someone else to do his dirty work. Jesus was God. God was in Christ. Christ is in God, and he is in us, and we are in him. And that's where he came, so that we could experience what was at the beginning with the Spirit and with the Father and with the Son, is what he has made available to us through Christ now. We're not waiting for death to save us. We're not waiting for it to get worse for us to be taken away.
Yep.
He's here, he's now, he is coming, and yet there is nothing that he has kept from us.
That's right.
And there are more. There's more.
That's right.
There's more. And he's just saying, come here, I want to tell you something. Come here, I want to show you something. Just get a little closer. Just come on, get a little closer.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, the things eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has even entered into our grandest imaginations or dreams, the things that he has in store.
That's right.
For
come
you.
On. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise Hallelujah. God. Good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like that word. You're going to live. Can you say amen? Hey, can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's a weak amen, but I will take it. It's saying, so be it. Hey, you're going to live.
Amen.
So be it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I love the song. I love the words that were in the song that we read, that we just finished with. It says, where, O death, is now your sting? And where, O grave, is your victory? Amen?
Amen.
Where is it at? It's not there anymore. Christ paid for it. He won. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Got a crazy kind of a different title for the sermon today. It's called And Followed Him. How you say? How many know it's important that we follow Christ? Is that right? Is that okay? Yeah, we have spent years and years of following preachers and certain people, but God says no. It's time that everyone follows me. Is what he says. Following Christ. Can you say amen to that? Let's look at the word this morning. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. Start at verse 42. We'll start there and move on. Praise God. Good word, Tommy. Thank you, brother. Good word. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that Father God, by your Spirit, Lord, you can unlock everything, every answer in our lives, Father, by your Spirit. So, Lord, as we look at your word, Father, we thank you that you are able, Father, to touch our deepest needs, Father. Those things that are so far down, Father God, in some folks that they don't realize they're there, Father. Father, touch those things this morning. Expose them. Bring light to them, Father. And, Lord, let the glorious light of your gospel fill them this morning, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 42, and it says, "And it was day, and he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came to him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them." And this is what he said. He said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore I am sent." How many know Jesus was sent for a lot of things?
Yes.
Sent to die for our sins, is that right?
Yep.
Sent to show us how a man of God is supposed to walk on this earth, is designed to walk. And he says right here, "I am sent to the cities to preach the kingdom of God." Amen.
Amen.
"And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." Yeah. Simon was a privileged man that morning. Can you say amen to that? Picked his ship. Hallelujah. "And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, man, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" I'll do it. You want that? What you want, Jesus? I'll do it. Jesus, no, it's not what I want. It's what you want. Weren't you fishing all night? It's not what I want. It's what you want. Can I tell you that Jesus has what we want?
Yes.
He has everything we need. Can I tell you that?
Yes.
If you want, Lord, I'll do it. Okay. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, and they began to sink." Lots of fish, amen?
Yeah.
"Filled both the ships, and they began to sink." Not just Peter's ship, but both the ships. I mean, they brought in a haul. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It was a big bunch of fish. Hallelujah. I don't know if I like fish that much. How many of you like fish? Anybody like fish? What's your favorite fish? Anybody just tell me how. Grouper. All right. That's a lot of fish. Two boats full. Amen? Come on. When God does things, can he do? Tommy just talked about an overflowing amount. Is that right? An overabundance. Can God give us an overabundance? Oh, you bet he can. And he wants to. This is a thing somehow we haven't really oiled on. He wants to give us an overabundance of all things. He is your Abba. He is your Father. How many fathers, good fathers, do you know that want to give their kids good stuff? Not to spoil them.
Right.
Amen? Can you know that God can spoil us if we want?
Oh, yeah.
But he's smarter than that. Can you say amen? God doesn't want to spoil you. He wants to build you and strengthen you so that you understand who he is in this kingdom that he's paid to get you into. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. God gave me a dream of a fishing pole.
Woo!
And I'm going to tell you, he wants to give you guys some dreams of fishing. He wants to show you how to bait a hook. That'll catch maybe even the biggest fish. The fishing pole he showed me, when I looked up at it, it looked like a telephone pole. I'm looking at this thing, if somehow I'm holding it, and I look up, and it's going way up into the sky. And he said this to me, I will make you a fisher of men. Okay. And I woke up. Praise God.
Woo!
There is something about God that we need. We got to have. Can you say amen to that? We have to have something from God. And do you know what that is? It's Him. It's Him. He's placed that within you, a desire to find out about Him. Man, have over the years have looked at everything. We've created a lot of religions on this earth, and God never intended a religion to be created. Never. All He wanted was fellowship. And God is invisible. How many know God's invisible?
Yep.
And He's got a kingdom that right now to us is invisible.
Right.
So invisible, we don't even realize that that invisible kingdom is living within us. Can you say amen to that? You see, I'm an Emmanuelist. Can you say amen? My son and I talk about this all the time. We're Emmanuelists. What does that mean? It means God with us. My God is with me. I'm not a Pentecostal, which I am. I'm not a Christian, which I am. I am an Emmanuelist. God is with me, will always be with me, will never leave me nor forsake me. I am. There is no time or distance away with God with me. He is right now. Today. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Last night on my kitchen table, he was talking to me about what we're going to talk about today, because God wants you to know that He desires you to be fellowshipping with Him in a way that you never imagined could happen. He wants to say things to you that you would say, that's impossible, God. Isn't that right? That's impossible. He wants to say things to you and bring you to the point where you understand that He has got something for you that you never even realized, because He's a good God. He loves you. Hallelujah. And when they had brought their ships to the land, this is where it says here, they forsook all and followed Him.
Amen.
See, God wants us to drop it all and just follow Him. You might say, well, what about this or what about... God knows about all that stuff. Can you say amen to that? He knows your needs. He knows that when you drop all of it and follow Him, you're going to gain all of it. Do you know it? Can you say amen? The Bible says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you. We can't even think of some of the things that will be added to of the all that He's talking about, because it is in His good pleasure to give you this kingdom that you're in. Can you say amen to that? And in this kingdom, it operates in certain ways. It doesn't operate at all like the world. So, I mean, we do a lot of trying to get our the way we operate in the world to try to get it into the kingdom, and it doesn't work that way. It works only by the direction of the Holy Ghost in this world. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Watch this. They forsook everything and they followed Him. Come on, let's go to John chapter 10, 1 through 5. John 10, 1 through 5. Verily, verily, this is Jesus. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Entering, where is he going into? What's he going into? Does it say the sheepfold? So he enters into the sheepfold. Is that right? What is what is that sheepfold? It's basically a pen. Is that right? Can you believe that we're penned up? I'm gonna let you think about it. How many of you have a shepherd? His name is Jesus. Okay, I will tell you that he is a good shepherd. He knows how to pen us up. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That sheepfold, it's what you could call a protective enclosure. Is that okay? You guys like that? I hope you do. Because God told Abraham, I am. Your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Not just, I'm going to reward you. He is an exceeding great reward. He is a shield to us. Can you say amen to that? So we're penned up. We're penned in by the love of God. The God that gave his life for you. You're penned up. And every once in a while, he wants to get us out of that pen. Can you say amen? It's be good to get out once in a while. Is that right? You even told your partner. You even said, hey, we need to go somewhere. My wife told me, we're going to go on vacation. Okay, we need to get out. Yeah. Well, let's see. Will God let us get out? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Huh. He says this, but he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Why are the sheep following him? They know his voice. Is that right? This porter, who is this porter that opens the door for them, for Jesus to come in? And he opens the door for the sheep to go out. Who is this porter? His name is he's the Holy Ghost. He opens the door of our hearts to know the shepherd. Can you say? Can you see that? That he opens your heart to know about him. And then he opens your heart to know how to hear him.
Amen.
Because we need to hear Jesus. Can you say amen? The Bible says to be led by the Spirit. How are you going to be led if you're not hearing him? Because he is invisible. But he dwells in you. Therefore, he wants you to hear him. Is that okay? The best place to get to know him is in his presence. The Bible says that the sheep follow him. Is that okay? They follow him. It's important that we follow him, that we do what he asks us to do. Is that okay?
Amen.
If you're not seeking God for what he has for you, for who you are today, I mean, I'm saying today because today is the only day we have. Is that right? This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in because it's the only day we have. Is that okay? We don't got tomorrow because it's not here yet. Is that right? All we've got now is right now. It's the present. It is today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have to follow him. How many know sometimes it'd be hard to follow him? How many of you know that sometimes it doesn't feel like it's going right? Anybody, is that right, Mercy? Sometimes it just doesn't feel good of what's happening. But how many know that God is in charge of your life? He's got you in a pen. of protection and freedom. Huh. Doesn't feel like things are going right. I remember when my son, one of the hardest things I ever had to do was release my son right out of high school to go into ministry. That was one of the hardest things so I had told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is what I want, God. If you're going to use my son or my daughter, I need to know that they know you. Is that okay? Not just know about you. A lot of people know about God, but they don't know him personally. But I want to know that my kids, before I release them out of my house, I mean, I don't care if they're 40 years old. I don't care if they're 60. If they don't know you, then I'm not going to let them out. I'm going to pin them in. No. Came home one night and my son was playing the piano. I thought he should be studying to graduate. How many know that's a good thing? And he's in there banging on his piano. I asked my wife, I say, hey, has he done his homework? Because he was doing that when I got home. I said, okay. So I go down to his room. I bang on the door. Jonathan. He opened it up because he wouldn't open it. I said, Jonathan. I said, he goes, Dad. Turns around. He's weeping. Come on in here. God's in here. I said, whoa, I'm going to leave you to that, mijo. You're good. Close the door. I said, man, I don't care about the homework anymore. Is that right? And I knew he had a contact with God. God showed me that. Same with my daughter. I get a phone call. My wife calling, hey, you need to get home. I said, well, I'm coming. And she goes, what's going on? She goes, you just need to get home. Rebecca wants to talk to you. She wants to talk to me about what? Just ask her what she wants. No, she wants you to get home first. That's okay, I'll be there. About a half an hour later, I show up. She comes out of her bedroom, and she tells me, Dad, sit right there. I sat down, and she began to preach a sermon to me. Tears rolling down her eyes, talking about the Lord and how good he is. How many know the Lord is good? And I began to weep. I said, God, you answered my prayers. So the hardest thing for me to do was when the call came. I got a phone call that God wanted Jonathan to go in the ministry. I didn't get no phone call. Rosie and I were youth pastors at that time. We were up in Phoenix. We had our kids at a youth convention, and Rosie had kids in their room, and I had kids in my room. And it just turned out that we had some time together, and Rosie told me, she says, look, I was getting scriptures. God was giving me scriptures. And she began to weep, and she said, I think it was about my son. I think it's about Jonathan. God's going to take him. I go, what do you mean he's going to take him? Yeah. Like Enoch? No, God has something for him. Jonathan at that time was in Chicago. I think it was Chicago. And he was supposed to be home at 8 o'clock or something. He gives me a call. Dad, I'm going to be late. I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, yeah, well, I missed my flight. I said, okay. This was Saturday night. He had to do Sunday morning service. When he comes in the door, MASH was on. Anybody like MASH? I was watching MASH. And he walks up to the TV and he shuts it off. Click. I go, hey, I'm watching MASH. He goes, Dad, I need to tell you something. Where's Mom? Well, she just went to bed. She goes, well, call him. Dad, can you get her? Sure. So we come out. She comes out of the bedroom. And she goes, what's going on? I go, I don't know. We sit down in the living room. Jonathan said, Dad, I believe God is calling for me to move into ministry. And I go, oh, okay. And Rosie looks at me, and I go, yeah, okay. Let's see. He began to read scriptures to us. He had about 10 of them. Rosie had about 6 or 8. I can't remember how many she had. But every one of those scriptures that he mentioned, Rosie had gotten that morning. And she told me, I told you. God wants him. Hardest thing for me to do as a father, a kid, probably not even 19 yet. Okay, release him to the Lord to go do the Lord's work in another state. hardest thing for me to do. I could have said no, but I already had too many. Too many words that God had given us to let us know to comfort our hearts. How many know when God gives you a word, it's a comfort? Is that right? This is why we got to seek for the word of God, folks. This is why it's important to us, because we got to follow him and none else. Forsake all and follow him. Can you say amen to that? Can you put up that? Following him. Learning to walk in the kingdom takes training. How many of you know that? How many know that learning to walk in this kingdom that we're in, it takes some training? Is that okay? Yep. You got to learn how to do it. You can't just do it. Right. As soon as you got saved, all of a sudden you know how to walk in the Lord. Is that right? It's going to take some training. And the worst thing or best thing about this training, it's continual.
Continual.
Is that right?
Amen.
It's always going on.
That's it.
You don't believe me? Drive off this parking and let some guy cut you off. There's a training session going on. You just stepped into it. Can you say amen? You see, these are happening all the time. Why? Because God is strengthening and building the body of Christ. We have to know how to operate like the kingdom. We just have to. The Father has called us into a ministry like none other. We are to take the earth. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. We are to take the earth. Like Tommy mentioned this morning, asking him for the nations. Well, we got to make sure that we're in this nation that we call the kingdom of God. Are you there? Are you in? Or are you just on the sideline maybe thinking about it? Or are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are you doing that? Could be. Maybe. I have learned to love the training. I think I've learned that more in the last year, that I love the training. Because anything that feels like it's bad happening to me is a training. School is open. And I was like, okay, God. All right, God, you see what's going on. What do you want me to do? Seek me. All right. It's a good continual training session. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I love this verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child. How many of you know children need to be taught? Now the heir, as long as he's a child, he's not any different than the servants, even though he's Lord. Is that crazy? Even though that child is Lord over all, he's not any different than a servant right now because he's a child. Is that okay? But he's under tutors and governors until what? The time appointed by the Father. You see, the Father is doing a training session on you even right now. Even now. And he's bringing you to a point. His desire is, I think it says it in Ephesians, till we all come to the full knowledge of Christ. He's given us pastors and teachers, evangelists, and all these other folks. Till we come to the knowledge of who Christ is in us. Woo. Training. Training. Escuela. Is that right? Is that the right word? Escuela. I'm going to take you to school, boy. Is that right? Yeah. I remember my tios used to train me. Whip out that old belt. Get over. Bam, bam, bam. Escuela. Yeah. This is school, man. I'm going to school you. You respect your mama. All right. All right. I got it. Oh, boy, I got it. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all what?
Joy.
Joy. When you fall into different training sessions, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, lacking what? Nada. Nothing. You don't need anything because you've been trained in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm all for the training. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Some people come to me and say, hey man, we're having problems here, man. Just training, brother. Go home and talk to the Lord. Nah. Get me out of it. Because you're not supposed to follow me. I'm not supposed to give you the answer. There is an answer, and it's already dwelling in you. Go see him. Go talk to him. Open the door of your closet and close the door. Go in and close the door and call on your father. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Ooh, training. Training, training. Everybody look at you. Look at your neighbor. Say, training. Training. Look at him. Look at the other one on the other side. Say, escuela. Yeah. I'm going to school you, boy. Count it all joy that you might be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3 says this. And you will remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Who led him? The Lord led him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh. These 40 years in the wilderness to do what? To humble thee. Is that right? How many know sometimes we need to be humbled? Is that right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a little too big for our britches.
Yeah.
You got to be humbled. God says, look, man, that is not the way of the king. Humility is the way of the kingdom. Love is the way of the kingdom. I've given you the fruits of the spirit. They are my spirit. Operate in those fruits. Hallelujah. Let humility be a big point in your life. Huh. I led you to humble you and to test you. Is that what it says? Some people don't like being tested. How many like being tested? I don't like it, but I've come to love it. Huh. Isn't that right? You gotta love what God does and how he does it. You see, this kingdom does things in different ways. And if you'll just accept that God sees you, he's with you, he's always with you, but he knows those things that trigger you, and he's going to say, I'm going to bring those out of you, so I'm going to cause her to get triggered. I'm going to cause him to get triggered. And we're getting triggered, and we don't even realize we're in school, that God is trying to show us something. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God cares about us enough to get those little triggers out of us? Trigger used to be a horse, right? Who was that horse? Roy Rogers' horse or Lone Ranger? Trigger, get them out. God, get all these. Tell the Lord right now, God, I want all the triggers out, Lord. I don't want to be moved by anything but your spirit, God. Hallelujah. Move me by your spirit. If you don't go, I ain't going. Hallelujah. That's what Moses told him. Trigger me, Lord. Get them out. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 through 23. I love the book. How many like the book of Isaiah? Man, he's my best friend in the Old Testament. Uh-huh, yeah. Look at this. It says, therefore, will the Lord wait? Can I tell you that God's waiting on us? There's some things that you got to read the whole book, but I'm going to start with this. Therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious to you? You see, God wants to be gracious to you. So he's going to wait for you. If you put it in your mind that God's waiting for me, just set it in your heart, God's waiting for me. Whenever you're going through something, just say, God's waiting for me. He's waiting for me. Therefore, will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you? For the Lord is a God of judgment. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, this judgment isn't the kind of judgment we think that, like Tommy was talking about, he's waiting with a whip or the flaming arrow to throw it at you because you did something wrong. He wants to help you get rid of those something wrongs. Is that okay?
Amen.
And the Lord is a God of judgment. This judgment is the way he thinks. He's saying my judgment, the way I think, needs to be implanted within you because I'm in you. Is that okay? He thinks a certain way. And being that you are filled with the Spirit or God dwells in you, judgment is actually dwelling in you. But sometimes We want to have our own way. We don't want to ask him about what we need to do. We just do what we want to do, and judgment is forsaken by us. We don't take it. But God says, I'm a God of judgment. I just want to show you. That's all. If you'll let me. Praise God. For the Lord is a God of judgment. And then it says, blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the voice of your cry. Isn't that nice? God, I just unloaded on some poor guy because his basket went before mine and he hit me or whatever. And so I unloaded on him. God, have mercy. Forgive me. And he's very gracious to you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. Is that okay? How many of you want God to answer you? Can I just tell you, God answers. I've asked him some questions. I've asked him some questions about some of you, and he's answered me. I said, wow, that was quick. And though the Lord, I want you to look at this, though the Lord give you, who's giving you? The Lord's giving this. Though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, is that right? Is that what it says? The Lord is giving it to you. Forget about what's his name. He ain't got nothing on us anymore. But God is desiring to build us and strengthen us. So he's going to give us a little adversity. It came in the garden in the form of a serpent. And he said, but God said, but he just don't want you to have knowledge, because the tree is called the tree of knowledge. And he just don't want you to have knowledge, because then you're going to be like him. And then God gives us adversity. He does. Yes. He really does. When I fell, I was helping my daughter in Tucson. It was dark, and I went down three steps. I thought there was one step, and I'm carrying these boards. And I thought there was only one step, so I went for the next step, which I thought was the ground. It wasn't there. And I got all flabbergasted, because I'm heading down. Is that right, Rebecca? And man, all I know, I got these boards, and all I can see is one pitching up and catching me. And so I just tossed them and landed on my knee and on my, and just crazy. My daughter right away, she goes, Dad. And another girl that was there, you got to go to the hospital. I said, no, I ain't going to the hospital. My daughter tells me, boy, you're stubborn. I go, yeah, I am. I am not going to the doctor. I was sore. I had sore ribs. My knee felt like it was jello for a few weeks, for almost a month or so. I don't know. My ribs took a while for me to. But see, the word of God still says that by his stripes I've been healed. The word of God has told me that all my afflictions, everything that I go through, he's got me. I got a great insurance package, guys. I really do. I'm insured by the kingdom, which will never pass away. It will never, ever pass away. Hallelujah. This insurance policy. So if it won't pass away, guess who else won't pass away? Praise God, he asked me. I ain't going for that passing away. What is that? Whatever. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, is that right? Yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. See, a lot of times what we've done with the adversity or the afflictions that comes upon us, we just take them and we push them off to the side and we work them out on our own. Is that all right? That's not all right. They're coming upon us because God wants to tell us something. He's trying to say something to us. So these afflictions, and the waters of adversity that comes on you are for your building, for your edification, to build you into the man and woman of God that God has called you to be. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Whew. It's a lot to say. Don't ask me to say it again. We push it off to a corner and we do whatever we got to do, whatever we think we've got to do in order to get past that thing. And God is saying, look, could it be that it's me? Could it be that it's me? Could it be? And I will tell you, as a man or woman of God, it's him. It's always him. Don't blame anything else. We don't blame. That's all that they did in the garden. Well, God, the serpent did this to the woman. The woman blamed the serpent. Adam blamed the woman. The only one that didn't try to blame anybody was the devil. The serpent. Why? He was doing what God told him to do. He brought them an adversity so they could be strengthened by that. And they failed. Is that okay? I want to quit failing my teaching lessons. I want to pass. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He brings you the water of affliction. It says, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner. What's that saying is, from now on, your teachers aren't going to be moved into a corner, but you're going to see what your teachers are. And this is what he's saying. But thy eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You see, all those afflictions, all of those adversities that you're going through, God is saying, Lloyd, come to me. This is the way, walk in it. Learn how to walk. See, God's trying to teach us how to walk in the kingdom. He wants you to know that you're stronger than what you've ever been. He wants you to know that you have been empowered to follow him.
Yes.
And understand him in all your ways. Glory to God. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, you shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver. What is that? And your ornament of molten images of gold. You see, God has told us over and over again, thou shalt not have anything before me. No gods before him. We make gods out of everything. Can you say amen to that? We even make our health our God. If it doesn't go right, man, we got to shoot out to the doctor. Is that right? And I'm not against going to the doctor. But what I am against is not seeking the Lord before you go to the doctor. Because it could be that he has a word for you to give to somebody that's in that doctor's office, because you have already been healed, is what his word says. Is that okay?
Amen.
Folks, I think John taught a little bit on believing God. Is that right? You got to believe him. Either get in or get out. Is that right? Believe him for what he's told you. Hallelujah. We have adversities and we have times of when our bodies get weird. Is that okay? How many say okay is weird? How many of you looked at, how many had something wrong with your foot and you say, oh, maybe I got bone cancer? What is that? Where'd that come from? Is that right? We do it all the time. We don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. Is that okay? Because it just kind of shows you where it's stemming from. If you think that you can protect yourself, you're out of the pen.
That's it.
You don't need the protection of the sheepfold. But when I'm in the pen, I depend on everything from God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everything comes from him. I depend on it. But in all these adversities and afflictions, God gives us something. Is that right? I got another thing that Terry's going to put up for you. It says this, our God has provided a place of refreshing specifically for us during and after these times of testing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
During the time of testing, that's the time to get in there. I would say be in there before that, so that when these times of testing come in, you know, it's just a supernatural habit for you to go to God, go to God, go to God, go to God. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. I love this scripture because when Jesus is talking, I got 2 minutes. Is that okay? It's 11:58. Does it show it up there? It doesn't. Okay, I shouldn't say anything. All right. hey, I love a scripture that when John, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, remember, he said, you must be born again. And Jesus, how are we going to get born again? I mean, we got to crawl back in our mother's womb. And all this, isn't that stupid? You've got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. But Jesus says this thing right here. It says, this is in, I guess it's Acts chapter, I'm sorry. It should be in John chapter 3. I gave you Acts, didn't I, Terry? Yeah, I'm sorry. I just noticed that. It's John chapter 3. Yeah, this is one of those scriptures I looked at. Man, when I looked at it, I thought, how many of you like to question those scriptures? Does anybody? I like to. I enjoy going, whoa, what does that mean? I don't get that one. You guys all understand, but I don't. I still need help. I mean, but here's one where it says, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is
Jesus
in heaven. God? Oh? What? This is saying something about who Jesus is. And he's right now, he's talking to Nicodemus. He's explaining something to him. And he says, the Son of Man, which came down from heaven and is in heaven. See, Jesus is bringing something that maybe sometimes we don't think about, but he's bringing that we can be two places at one time. Is that how many say amen to that? Do you know that? Do you know you can be two places at one time? I want to show you this. I'm going to look at these scriptures because this is a place where God gives us great refreshing. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. To make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, it's a mystery, which from the beginning of the world, God has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, it might be known by the church. See, the church, he's mentioning the church. He wants the church to know the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have confidence, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Access into what? Come on, folks. We have confidence and access into what? Hebrews chapter 4:16 says this. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. You see, we have access to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Folks, this is the most magnificent place. Man, if I could just build it up with words, God, it's the most magnificent, beautiful place you can be is at the throne room of God. In the presence of God, because it's in his presence that he speaks a divine sentence to you. How can you say amen to that? How many want a divine sentence from heaven? See, sometimes people look for a divine sentence to come from men. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm giving you divine sentences right now. Can you say amen? They're flowing out by the ton, these divine sentences. But God is looking for you to understand that you have been given such a privilege to stand in two places at one time. Oh, you might be in your closet. You might be in your pickup. But you're in the presence of God. You're in the throne room of God. Does that make, is that okay? Let's give you another one. Just one more to top it off. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit, where? Together. In heavenly places in Christ. That's what you've been designed for. But why would he tell us that? Because I will tell you, folks, there's no separation between, there's no time, neither is there distance between us with God. God's either in you or he's not. Is that right?
Amen.
He needs to be in you. There's no separation, time, or distance. So why would he say that? Why would he say that, you know, the Son of Man, which is on earth, and he's in heaven? Because he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two places at one time. God's desiring to bring the heavens into the earth, and he's using us to bring it. Can you say amen to that? If you will stand, can you stand? Hallelujah. Can you stand? I've been with you. I mean, I went 3 minutes over. It's 12:03. That took 5 minutes. Is that all right? Just in case you guys are timing me. Hallelujah. Get it over with, Pastor. Come on, man. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. If you'd put that up. Look at this. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Folks, he's talking about you too. The tongue of the learned, that you should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
He's given that to you. It's not just in pastors, it's in the body of Christ.
Amen.
The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes morning by morning. Good morning, Lord. This is a day you've made. What do you have for me today, Lord? Nothing? Okay. He wakes my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Look at that. Look at that. He opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. How many times has God said something to you, and you rebelled? So go tell him you're sorry. No, I ain't going to tell him I'm sorry. They got to tell me sorry first. I mean, how many times do we have to hear him saying something? I am the God. Love your enemies. Is that right? Do good to them that despitefully use you. Do good to them. How many times does he have to tell us that? And see, he opens my ear to hear, and I was not rebellious. Neither did I turn away. How many want a ear to hear? How many want to hear God? I mean, if there's anything, I don't go on the internet. I don't try the different pastors on there. I don't do all that stuff because I want to hear him and him only.
Amen.
Because everybody has their own idea. Can you say amen to that? If you want an idea, they're out there. They'll find them for you. If you're looking for one, they'll find you. How many of you have gotten something on your phone? You just talked about the refrigerator. All of a sudden, you got an article about something on your phone about refrigerators. That phone is doing something.
Amen. It's trying to speak to you.
But I don't want to hear about my refrigerator, even though I might need a refrigerator. I want to hear God.
Amen.
I want that connection where he opens my ear to hear, and I do what he tells me.
Amen.
He's saying this morning, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. Hallelujah. And learn of me. Come on, hallelujah.
Yes.
Ooh, hallelujah. God loves you.
Yes.
Can you say amen? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, quicken us. Quicken our ears to hear and our eyes to see, Father. Help us to see what you're doing, though that's invisible. Help us to hear what you're saying, though you're invisible. Be as clear to us as you desire to be, Father. We thank you this morning, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hey, it's 12:07. The roast is still good.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.